Hello, this is David Gedge from The Wedding Present, and you're listening to the Pantheon Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Nick DiMatteo, and welcome to Season 6, Episode 22 of Music Is Not a Genre, MXG! Kind of got those right. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening. I'm going to say something a little different this week because I've been doing a lot of work on my website and I mention it in the mid-roll anyway. And it turns out the easiest way to get any other version of this podcast is to just go to nickdimatteo.com/musicisnotagenre. That's it. Because everything's there. You got the different streaming services. You've got this YouTube here, a couple of other things, and a link to a bunch of other stuff. So if you're just watching and you want to listen, go to nickdimatteo.com/musicisnotagenre, or honestly, just search for it on Apple or Spotify or Google, wherever you listen to podcasts, and you'll find it. If you are just listening and you want to watch, just go ahead and go to, again, nickdimatteo.com/musicisnotagenre or youtube.com/@musicisnotagenre. They take you to the same place. Anyway, let's get right to it. I'm pretty excited yet again about this topic. It came up kind of last minute and I really, really ran with it. And it's kind of coincidental because this is episode 22 and the topic for this week is two hit wonders. Yeah. In fact, no subtitle, two hit wonders. So why am I doing this topic? Listen, we all know one hit wonders. We've heard about them our whole lives. If you've heard anything about music at all, everyone's talking about the phenomenon of one hit wonders. What isn't told is that a lot of those one hit wonders are misclassified, that those artists actually had two hits or more than two hits in some cases. So that's why I'm doing this. I'm also doing this, and what I'm saying there, other than, of course, the excitement of you get to find out which one-hit wonders are actually two-hit wonders, is that this is a normal thing, natural thing. We like the idea of a sensational story like that, that, oh, there's a one-hit wonder, they had one hit and they disappeared, is a better story than, well, they had two hits and the second one was actually pretty darn good too, and then they had maybe even a long career after that, not as great a story. So sensationalism in the media and in the industry tend to win. And I'm not angry about it. It just gives me kind of a reason to set the record straight, I guess you could say. And what I've found is that, again, yes, there are absolutely straight up one hit wonders, but, and there are people who have had two or more hits who are known to have had two or more hits, but there's that gray area where there are people who are called artists who are called one hit wonders who had more than one hit. That's what this episode is about. And it's got me pretty excited. So having lived through the 80s, I can tell you, and people know, that that is a decade that is known for having more one-hit wonders than any other decade. But you're going to see, as you take this journey with me, whether or not that's true. And I'll say this. One of the things that spurred me to even put this on my list was that when I've looked at lists of one-hit wonders or heard about them, or I hear somebody say that somewhere where they're playing a song from a so-called one-hit wonder, I have a vivid enough memory of bands in particular from the 80s and artists who had more than one hit, who had another song on the radio that was clearly enough of a hit that I remember it and that it charted. And so you're going to hear a bunch of those bands who really were the inspiration in a lot of ways for this episode. Which, by the way, t-shirt I'm wearing, for those of you just listening, it is a They Might Be Giants t-shirt, one of my favorite bands. I'm wearing it because I don't have a lot of t-shirts. I don't have a t-shirt from any one-hit wonders. They are no-hit wonders. They are a band who never charted on the mainstream charts. They charted on a bunch of other charts, never charted on the mainstream charts, and yet they've had a 40-year career, certainly done well. That tends to be, I guess, you know, I love very, very popular, famous bands and artists, but I also tend towards more, slightly more obscure in a lot of ways. And I have found that a lot of the artists I like aren't on any of these lists, including they might be giants. So format, I'll be going decade by decade, as I do with a lot of things lately, starting in the 1950s. In particular, my sources for this are, of course, Wikipedia, top40weekly.com, ultimateclassicrock.com, ask.com, believe it or not, Paste Magazine, I guess, .com. And I want to note that almost all of the articles on those sources are about one-hit wonders. The easiest way for me to make my list of two-hit wonders was to go to these sites that are telling you that all of these people are one-hit wonders, which just shows you how easy it is to debunk that. The criteria, because I talked about this with a good friend of mine, Steve Erickson, who's on this show frequently and will be again in a few weeks. He said, well, how do you judge what a hit is? And this is really part of the dispute here, is that the industry doesn't get to tell us everything. They don't get to tell us what a hit is. We can judge that for ourselves. Now, if there's a song that we love that didn't make the top 500 or 1,000, of course, that's not a hit, but we can love it anyway. A song in the top 200, you know, there's a gray area, but again, it's the top 200 songs in the entire nation, as opposed to the thousands or tens of thousands or however many songs are out at the same time. But again, kind of a gray area. So the criteria for a lot of these articles is that there had to have been only one top 40 hit, which, believe it or not, is often, again, not true in a lot of these cases, and you'll hear that. But my criteria is, did they have a top 40 hit? Did they have another hit, at least one more, that made the top 100 and made a significant in listening impact to the fans? That's really what it is. Because I'll say this again at the end in the conclusions, any sane person who compares a top 100 song to all of the tens of thousands or how I wish I knew the number of songs that are out concurrently, any sane person would have to judge that a song that goes that high is by any other human standards a hit. So that's what I'm using. And I shout out to my dad, Nicky DiMatteo, who had a top 100 hit song Suddenly, by the way. That's one more than I've had. So disclaimers, I will not mention every two-hit wonder. There were a ton, and it's not going to fit in this episode, but I'll mention enough of a sampling per decade to give you an idea of how many there are, including some or probably all of the most well-known so-called one-hit wonders. If I miss a two-hit wonder that you know of, you tell me. I always want to hear from you. That's part of the reason I do this. Disclaimer, I won't mention many actual one-hit wonders, if any. I might mention one or two just to make a point. This is not an episode about one-hit wonders. So if you were looking for that, click elsewhere. I'm sure you can find a ton of those. A lot of people do short videos on, here's this one-hit wonder from 1984 or whatever, 1964 or 59. That's not what this is. This is two-hit wonders. I also won't mention artists who are already known to have two or more hits. That there's no dispute there. That's not really the subject to hear. Plus, I mean, you know, how long would that list be? So that's not going to happen. I won't include artists who had a single hit under one name and then other hits under other names or as the main part of a band. That's really parsing. That's mincing, you know. I mean, that is, I feel like that's cheating in a way. So a lot of these one-hit wonder lists put people like that on where like, I don't know, I could be wrong. It was like Pete Townsend was a one-hit wonder. Oh, sure. Okay, yeah. Like that qualifies. So that's, I'm not going to do that. ENF, slightly different from A through D disclaimers. I am sticking to the mainstream pop chart. That's how these are judged anyway. But it's also because if I expanded it to R&B and country and dance and everything else and alt and whatever, the list would go on forever because a lot of the artists who had one mainstream hit then charted a ton of hits on other charts, right? So forget that. All still valid hits. I'm not saying that. There are some of those I absolutely love. It's just that, you know, you got to limit it somewhere. And the final disclaimer is I will not do other countries' charts for the same reason. I've told you this before. You know how I feel about USA's, you know, penchant for disposability in music and in many other things. And what that results in are a bunch of artists who have had major successes in other countries and have had long careers, like the band A-ha, for example. I've mentioned them before, who did Take On Me, but who only had one hit in the States. I'm not going to go to those charts because, again, the list would go on forever. So how I'm going to do this by decade is, and by year, is I will name the artist, then the so-called one hit they had, the year they had it, where it charted, and then their second actual hit, where that charted, or how many more hits they had in the top 40, 50, 100, whatever it may be. And also if they happen to go on to long careers and successful and respected careers. And then, of course, I'll go on to the conclusions, including, and stick around for this, I'm going to give you the short list, or list, I don't know if it's short, of which of these artists are the two-hitter winners, the ones who legit are two-hit wonders that rise to the top of the ranks from this giant list that I have here. And then, of course, other conclusions, my featured song, and questions, you know. And stick around also, or go to patreon.com/musicisnotagenre for the bonus episode. I'll be doing a cover or two of some songs from these two-hit wonders. And I'll also be doing a song of mine. And you get that as a bonus episode. You get all bonus episodes at patreon.com/musicisnotagenre. And the bonus of supporting an artist who's working hard, largely for free. So let's get to it.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
1950. Starting here, because most of the list started in 1950. And if I were to do research beyond that, that would take every single one of you is listening to donate $25 a month to patreon.com/musicisnotagenre so that I could devote the time for that kind of research. That said, I do research and write these for hours and hours and hours for each episode. So first, one hit wonder, and I'm going to say it that way, The Three Chuckles. Not a band anyone has heard of, I think, who is alive today. They had a number 20 hit in 1954 called Runaround. But they also had Times Two, I Love You in 1955 that went to number 67. And they had And the Angels Sing in 1956 that went to number 70. They're obscure. And they are still not a one-hit wonder, not by any human standards, again. That's an example of some of what we're going through, but not all, because the next artist, Carl Perkins, legendary. Blue Suede Shoes was his only top 40 hit in 1956. It went to number two. But he also had Boppin' the Blues that year in number 70. Your True Love the following year with number 67. Pink Pedal Pushers, 1958, number 91. Pointed Toe Shoes in 1951, number 93. Couple things there. First of all, a lot of top 100 hits. Second of all, a lot of songs about shoes, which in hindsight, if he were still alive, I might say that might have been why your song started to drop below 100, is that people were like, can you sing at least about maybe pants or some other article of clothing, or maybe not clothing at all? There's one. But that's Carl Perkins. Another well-respected artist, Ivory Joe Hunter, had one hit in 56, number 12 on the charts, Since I Met You, Baby. But he also had the hit in 57, Empty Arms, number 43. So you mean to tell me he missed the top 40 by 3 points and he's considered a one-hit wonder? Not in my book. That's a two-hit wonder at least. He had a few other hits in the top 100s in 1958 and 1959. And plus he had almost a 30-year career from the mid-1940s until his death in 1974, which of course trumps any hits, really, in my book, is a lengthy career and a successful career. Mickey and Sylvia, I actually heard of them. A Love is Strange. If you heard the song, you'd probably know it. 1956, it went to number one. But they had another seven hits over the next 5 years, charting anywhere from right at 100 to all the way up to number 47. And then they split. And then they had long solo careers, each of them, in different ways. Sylvia, in particular, had a hit in 1973, Pillow Talk, which was a proto-disco song before disco was disco, but if you heard it, you'd probably say it was disco. And that song itself helped to form Sugar Hill Records, which I will be mentioning when I get to the 1980s. The Bobettes in 1957 had a number six hit with Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee, but they had four other top 100 hits through 1961. So far from a one-hit wonder. Gene Allison, someone I think I've heard of, You Can Make It If You Try, went to number 36 in 58, 59, that area. In 1958, he also had a number 73 hit, Have Faith. He performed for decades after, in between him running a 24-hour soul food restaurant in Nashville. That is not a tongue twister, and yet I screwed it up. The Champs, what did they do? Tequila. 1958 was a number one hit. But then they had seven more top 100 hits through 1962. I mean, come on. Sheb Woolley, One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater, was number one in 1958. Congratulations to people in 1958 for making that number one. He had another eight hits from 1955 through 1968, ranging from down at 98 to all the way up to number 51. So stop with the one-hit wonders thing. Johnny Otis, Willie and the Hand Jive, went to number nine in 1958. He had three more hits through 1960, ranging from number 87 to 52 on the charts. Bobby Day, Rockin' Robin, in the Treetops All Day Long. Tweet, 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 1958, number two it went to. Also had hits, Little Bitty Pretty One, 1957, number 57, Over and Over, 1958, went to number 41, and three more in the top 100 through 1959. He was more a producer and a songwriter, and those other hits charted even higher by other artists, Little Bitty Pretty One, Over and Over. So if you know those songs and you're like, Bobby Day didn't do them, he did them first and then sold them to other artists who charted higher with them. The Teddy Bears, To Know, Know, Know Him Is To Love, Love, Love Him, went to number one in 1958. And in 1959, they had a scraper there with number 91 with the song Oh Why. Frankie Ford, Won't You Let Me Take You on a Sea Cruise, Ooh-wee, number 14 in 1959, had another four top 100 hits through 1961. Bo Diddley, first of all, a legend. Second of all, it is true that he only had one top 40 hit, number 20 in 1959, Say Man. Four other hits, though, through 1967, so almost a decade-long run of hits, and of course a long career and just a legend. And one of his hits went up to number 48. So again, just please. Mark Dinning, Teen Angel. I don't remember the rest of it. Number one song in 1959, and three more in the top 100 through 1961. And that wraps up the 1950s, which really did have quite a few actual one-hit wonders. 1960s, Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs had Stay All Just a Little Bit Longer in 1960, went to number one. Also had I Remember in that year, number 86, and also had Come Along the year after, went to number 83. So decent run there. Curtis Lee, Pretty Little Angel Eyes, number seven in 1961. And then Under the Moon of Love, same year, number 46. So near miss? No, that's a hit too. Don and Juan, What's Your Name, 1961, number seven. And then Magic Wand the following year, number 91. So yeah, drop off, you know. And that's why a lot of these artists are considered one-hit wonders, is because maybe their second hit didn't do as well. But not in every case. And you will see that. There are some who had bigger hits with songs that aren't considered their so-called single hit. Jimmy McGriff, well-known jazz organist, I've Got a Woman Part 1 in 1962 went to number 20. But through 1968, he had five more hits ranging from number 99 all the way up to number 50. Not to mention a long career that lasted through the early 2000s. The Hondells with the song Little Honda, number nine in 1964. But also My Buddy Seat that year, number 87. And then 2 years later in 66, Younger Girl went to number 52. So a little bit of a rise there, and I would consider that a hit. Robert Goulet, well known, especially if you've watched Saturday Night Live or some other cheesy 70s and 80s and 90s movies and TV shows. My Love, Forgive Me was apparently his only hit, Mr. One Hit Wonder, 1964, number 16. But in 1962, it was What Kind of Fool and I, number 89, which is honestly the song I know better. And then Summer Sounds in 1965, number 58. And I don't think he, you know, after a while anyway, that he cared that much that he had that so-called one hit. Barry McGuire, still alive. He is 88 years old, still has a career, still kicking ass. Actually, I don't know what he's doing. He released albums through 1999. Why is he famous? Because he had the number one hit in 1965 with Eve of Destruction. Over and over and over again, my friend. Also, that year, Child of Our Times, number 72. And the following year, Cloudy Summer Afternoon, number 62. So yeah, we remember Eve of Destruction, but those are significant charting hits. The Viscounts did Harlem Nocturne. In 1966, it went to number 39, so they scraped into the top 40. It was actually released 7 years before and went to number 52, so it's sort of a double hit for the same song, which we know has happened for other things like Bohemian Rhapsody, etc., but this is not about megastars. And in 1960, they had Night Train at 82 and Wabash Blues at number 77. Here's one you would know, Buffalo Springfield. For What It's Worth in 1967, went up to number 7. We know that. There's something happening here. And what's happening is they had four other songs through 1968, ranging from number 98 all the way up to number 44. So please, that's just a false cutoff. I know we do top 40, blah, 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 but that's just, it's artificial. The Lemon Pipers had the hit Green Tambourine in 1967 that went to number one. Following year, they had a hit called Rice is Nice, which I would agree with, though I've never heard the song. It went to number 46. The follow-up Jelly Jungle went to number 51. So again, pretty big hits. Blue Cheer, Summertime Blues, Ain't No Cure for the Summertime Blues, 1968 went to number 3. That same year, they had the song Just a Little Bit, which went to number 69. Not as big, but I remember that song. Iron Butterfly, one of the number one albums of the 60s. I think the last one, maybe, in Agata de Vida, the title track from that. 1968 went to number 30, but they had three more top 100 hits through 1970. And I just found out, when I researched, that they're still performing. So let me quote that. Iron Butterfly, in a Agata de Vida, is still out there performing right now in 2024. Spiral Staircase, I love you more today than yesterday is 1969 as number 12. But that same year, they had these hits, No One For Me To Turn To at number 52, and She's Ready at number 72. Now, here's one that is one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm doing this episode. The Archies. So it was a band that was, you know, whatever, compiled. I don't know. But how do we know them? Sugar, dun, 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 1968, number one. And you'd say, okay, one hit wonder. Maybe they had some obscure hits. No. Yes, they had two more in the top 100. But listen to me. The Archies had three more top 40 hits besides Sugar Sugar. So how can anyone call them a one hit wonder? The Youngbloods. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together in 1969, went to number 5. It was actually released in 67 when it went to number 62, but went higher. But they also had Grizzly Bear in 1966, which went to number 52. Darkness, Darkness, towards the end of that decade, which went to number 86. So, you know, a little bit more than a one-hit wonder. Steam, one of the first bands I found for this list. Na, 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 na. Hey, you know, hey, hey, kiss him goodbye. Number one in 1969. But the following year, I've Gotta Make You Love Me went to number 46. All right? What I find funny is that a lot of the ones I just mentioned, like Get Together, Na Na Hey Hey, and Sugar Sugar, and What More Today Than Yesterday, and some of those Summertime Blues maybe, they're all on those late night infomercials, hits of the 1960s, you know, and that kind of thing. But we find out that a lot of them were actually two or more hit wonders. Let's go to the 1970s. We'll see if we can get through this before we get to the break. If not, we will pick it up. But 1970s, Shocking Blue, Venus. Which I always knew the Bananarama version, but their version's actually really cool. Went to number one in 1970. But that same year, they had Mighty Joe, which went to 43, and Long and Lonesome Road, 75. Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky, Spirit in the Sky, and Something About Dying, number three in 1970. But, and this one has got to be a classic, The Eggplant That Ate Chicago, in 1966, went to number 52. Canned Ham in 1970 went to number 46. So that's two food songs. And then California Earthquake in 1971 went to number 93. So I think more than a one hit wonder. Mountain, Mississippi Queen, 1970, number 21. And then the following year, number 76 song, The Animal Trainer and the Toad. And here's one that, frankly, this just gets me. The Five Stair Steps did the song, Ooh, Child, Things Are Gonna Get Better. In 1970, went to number 8. But I'm telling you, through 1980, from 1966 to 1980, they had another 15 songs reach the top 100. And I guarantee you, fans of that music or the Five Stair Steps know some of those songs. So, again, not a one-hit wonder. Now, Mungo Jerry, I'm putting Mungo Jerry on there. Why? They are a one-hit wonder. In the Summertime, 1970, number three, is actually their only hit in the United States. But they had several hits in other countries, which I'm not mentioning, as I mentioned. And they're still performing and recording. They're still putting out new music. Mungo Jerry in the Summertime is putting out new music still to this day. We don't know about it because America doesn't care about longevity. Gene Knight, 1971. Mr. Big Stuff. Ooh, yeah. 1971, number two. Same year You Think Your Hot Stuff went to number 57. And then had a comeback almost 15 years later in 1985 with the song My Toot Toot, number 50. If anybody knows what My Toot Toot means, please call me. I'll put my number in the at the bottom there. Looking Glass from Rutgers, New Jersey, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Brandy, you're a fine girl, number one. But hello, in 1972, the following year, they had the song Jimmy Loves Marianne, which went to number 33. So that is legit another top 40 hit. They're not a one-hit wonder. Even if we only remember Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, they actually had another top 40 hit. King Harvest, Dancing in the Moonlight. So again, songs that you'll hear on those infomercials, you know, hits of the 70s. 1972, number 13. And then in 73, they had a song called A Little Bit Like Magic, which went to number 91. Terry Jacks, We Had Joy, We Had Fun, but not in the song Seasons in the Sun, which is pretty bleak. 1974 went to number one. Also that year, If You Go Away was number 68. Rock and Roll Gave You the Best Years of My Life, the following year, number 97. And yes, I am talking a little bit like an AM DJ right now, because I'm talking about old music, and also I'm talking a little fast. One more here. MFSB had the TSOP, The Sounds of Philadelphia. Now, the name MFSB has been said to mean MFNS's of Beads or whatever. You tell me. 1974, number one hit, The Sounds of Philadelphia. They had four more top 100 hits through 1977. Give them some credit. Give them some respect. One more song, The Night Chicago Died from Paper Lace, was number one in 1974. But I also remember from my childhood, Billy, Don't Be a Hero, Don't Be a Fool for Your Life, which only went to number 96, but it's a memorable song. And they also had the song that year, The Black Eyed Boys, which went to number 41. So Paper Lace, not a one-hit wonder. We're going to stop at the midpoint here. Get through the rest of the 70s and the rest of these decades right after the mid-roll. So absorb what I just threw at you, and we will be right back. Hey, so I was going to do the usual and just list all of the links that I'd love for you to check out, but I realized that everything you need to know and everywhere you need to go is at nickdimaddio.com. That really is the hub. I list all the links in every episode just in case, but nickdimaddio.com is where I put everything that I do. If you want to know more about this podcast, whether it's the audio version or the YouTube version at youtube.com/@musicisnotagenre or wherever else the podcast shows up, or if you want to support the podcast at patreon.com/musicisnotagenre, just go to nickdimaddio.com. It's all there. If you want to check out my full discography of original music and covers for my band REC, REC, and beyond, it's at nickdimaddio.com, including all the streaming and social links for wherever you listen to music and wherever you check out your soch. My acting clips are there. My voiceover clips are there. Graphic design, my blog, and most especially, it's the best place to contact me. If you go to nickdimaddio.com/contact or just hit the contact is on every single page, you can send me a note, say hello, ask me any questions you'd like. You get a newsletter a few times a month, and if you have a project of your own and need work done for it, whether it's audio editing or music or voiceover or graphic design, or if you have an event and you need live music, go to nickdimaddio.com, contact me, say hello, let me know what you need. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show. Crossfade. And we are back. Thank you for checking out that mid-roll. If you did, if you fast-forwarded through it, I completely understand. I do that often when I'm listening to podcasts. But let's get right back into the 1970s, a place we all know and love or something. 1976, Starland Vocal Band had the hit Skyrockets in Flight, Afternoon Delight, was number one. Number one. But they had three other top 100 hits through 1980. Elvin Bishop, Fooled Around and Fell in Love. I'm not sure that's how that goes. 1976 went to number three. Four more songs around that time in the top 100. So a decent run for the fella. Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. 1977 went to number one. It was everywhere. Two other top 100 songs in 1978. So, you know, quick fade, but a little pop there, right? Alicia Bridges, I Love the Nightlife, I Love to Boogie, and I'll Save the High Note for You. 1978, number five. In 1979, the song Body Heat went to number 86. Here's a great one. Anita Ward, You Can Ring My Bell, Ring My Bell. Ring, ring, 1979, number one hit. That same year, Don't Drop My Love, 1987. And Don't Drop Me from the record label, hopefully. Then, and rounding out the 70s, The Knack. My Sharona was their number one hit in 1979. But again, I just don't get it. Because that's that same year, they had a number 11 hit with Good Girls Don't. In 1980, they had Baby Talks Dirty, which went to number 38. And then they had two more in 1980 and 81 in the top 100. But they had three legit top 40 hits, not a one-hit wonder. All right. let's get to the 1980s. We're gonna tackle this bear, and then we're gonna skin it and put the, I don't know, make a rug. I don't hunt. I don't know. So 1980, Sugar Hill Gang had the number 36 hit, Rapper's Delight. But they also had a hit in 1980, Eighth Wonder, in 1982. But more than that, I mean, 1980, number 82. More than that, Apache, Jump On It, Jump On It, Jump On, number 52 in 1981. And that's the song I remember the most from Sugar Hill Gang. I mean, I know a lot of people remember Rapper's Delight too. Okay, The Romantics. This is just revisionist history. What I Like About You wasn't even a top 40 hit. It's the one we all remember. It only went to number 49 in 1980. And I mean, it's soared since then. There's another one that's done that, actually, you'll get to, which might surprise you. But they had actual two top 40 hits, other than the one that they're remembered for, that is considered their one hit, which wasn't as high as their other actual hits, which is Talking in Your Sleep, 1983, number 3, a song I love. And then One in a Million, number 37 in 1984. And then Test of Time, number 71 in 1985. So a really good run. And that's, you know, by my count, three big hits and another minor hit. SOS Band, You Can Do It, Take Your Time, Do It Right, 1980. It went to number 3. And then they had four more top 100 songs through 1985. Here's this. Tommy Two Tone, again, revisionist history. 8675309, Jenny, is a song I sing with my cover band. In 1981, it went to number 4. But the previous year, they had a number 38 with Angels Say No. So again, two actual top 40 hits. Stop, right? Bertie Higgins, Sailing Away in a Key Largo, Heels Looking at You, 1981, with a number 8 hit. But number 8, 1982, Just Another Day in Paradise, and that's not the Phil Collins song, had number 46. So, like, close, right? And close enough, and more than close enough. It's an actual hit. Tony Basil, Mickey, You're So Fine, 1982, number 1 hit. But in 1983, Shopping from A to Z, number 77, and Over My Head is number 81. Also, great, her first single, Breakaway, which was not a hit, I don't think, was released not in 1982 or 83, in 1966. And she's a dancer and has had a long career as a dancer and a choreographer, so that's partly why, but that's pretty incredible. Survivor, again, yeah, this is ridiculous. We know Eye of the Tiger, 1982, number 1 hit. They had 7 more hits in the top 40, in the top 40, and then 10 more in the top 100 through all of the 1980s. Why we don't remember them as one of the bigger bands of the 1980s is beyond me. I'm not saying they're a favorite. I'm just saying it's really confusing. Madness, Our House in the Middle of Our Street in 1982 went to number 7. In 1981, they had another top 40 hit, an actual top 40, number 33, It Must Be Love. And The Sun and the Rain in 83 went to number 72. And they're still performing and recording. And to be honest, if you know Madness, you also know One Step Beyond. And it may not have been a hit in the United States, but it's one that we play in our band. We've played both that and Our House. And, you know, A Flock of Seagulls, I Ran So Far Away, 1982, number 9. But the same year, they had Space Age Love Song, which was number 30. And Wishing, If I Had a Photograph of You, number 26. So three top 40 hits in the same year. And then in 1984, The More You Live, The More You Love, number 56. Pretty impressive. Musical Youth, Pass the Duchy on the Left Hand Side. I'd say 1982, it went to number 10. Also, Unconditional Love in 1983 went to number 43. Donna Summer was featured in that, and that was almost as ubiquitous as Pass the Duchy. I remember it as well as Pass the Duchy. And She's Trouble in the 83 and number 65. Jennifer Holliday, And I Am Telling You I'm Not Going, in 1982 went to number 22. She had three other top 100s through 1985, plus she's still performing. She's had a long, respectful career. Dexys Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen, 1982, number 1. I know this is a tough one. They had another hit in 83 at number 86, the Celtic Soul Brothers. It was actually released the year before and then re-released, and it charted because of Come On Eileen. So yeah, they faded quickly, but that's a hit to me. Modern English, again, said I wouldn't mention a lot of one-hit wonders, but I'm doing this one because they are a legit, actual, not one-hit wonder. Why? Because they're a no-hit wonder by industry standards. By my standards, they are a two-hit wonder. But by industry standards, and Steve Erickson, thank you for helping me out with this, I Melt With You in 82 only reached number 78 on the charts. Not even a top 40 hit. Everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. And then Hands Across the Sea in 84 went to number 91, which was almost as high as I Melt With You. So this is all wrong on all counts. They're not a one-hit wonder. They're not a zero-hit wonder. It's just crazy. Thomas Dolby, Science! She Blinded Me With Science, 1982, went to number 5. And Hyperactive in 84 went to number 62, and I remember that song. Kaja Goo Goo, number 5 hit in 1983 with Two Shy to Shy, Hush Hush, How Do I. Same year, the song Hang On Now went to number 78. Big Country, In a Big Country, always thought they were from Canada, but I think they're Australian, 1983, number 17. Same year, Fields of Fire, number 52, a pretty memorable song, and 84, Wonderland, number 86. Again, false, just false revisionist history. Matthew Wilder, Ain't Nothing Gonna Break My Stride, number 5 in 83. Oh no, he had another top 40 hit in 84. The Kid's American went to number 33. In that same year, Bouncing Off the Walls went to number 52. So, by all standards, not a one-hit wonder. Eddie Grant, We're Gonna Rock, down to Electric Avenue, number 2 in 1983. In 84, he had the song Romancing the Stone from the movie, number 26. So, not a one-hit wonder. 1982, I Don't Want to Dance, number 52. Peter Schilling, Ground Control to Major Tom. I don't know. Actually, that might have been the, I don't know. Anyway, Major Tom, Coming Home, 1983, number 14. And in 88, he had the hit The Different Story, number 61. Shannon, Let the Music Play, number 8 in 83. And Give Me Tonight, the following year was number 46. I remember both of those equally well. So not a one-hit wonder. And Do You Want to Get Away in 1985, number 49. That's impressive. Three top 50 hits. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, their only hit was not Relax, in number 10 in 1983. They had Two Tribes the following year that went to number 43. The following year after that, Welcome to the Pleasure Dome from the Mad Max, I guess, and number 48. Okay. Naked Eyes, not by any standards a one-hit wonder. Sure, Always Something There to Remind Me, excellent, number 8 in 83. That same year, they had Promises, Promises, number 11, right? And then two more top 40 hits through 1984. So four top 40 hits. Not a one-hit wonder. Talk Talk, It's My Life, 1984, number 31. They had three other top 100 hits through 1985. Thanks, Steve Erickson, for this one. Night Ranger, Sister Christian Ulla. I wouldn't have known this. 1984, that went to number 5. I remember that song so well. You're motoring. I mean, you know, aren't we all? Five more top 40 hits from 82 to 85, not just Sister Christian. Five more top 100 hits beyond that through 1988. And again, they're one of those bands that is still performing and still releasing new music decades after their hit. Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It, 1984, number 21. This is the kind of band this episode was made for, because anyone who remembers that band and that song also remembers I Wanna Rock. Dun, 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 Want to Rock in 1984, number 68. And then Leader of the Pack the following year went to number 53, a cover that I don't remember, but I remember those two songs equally well. Dead or Alive, same thing. This episode was made for this band. You Spin Me Right Round in 84 went to number 11. But 2 years later, they had the hit Brand New Lover, number 15 in 1986. Which again, I mean, that's on a lot of 80s mixes. So everybody remembers that song if you know the 80s. Three others in the top 100. Kate Bush of Stranger Things fame, Running Up That Hill, had number 30 in 1985. The Man with the Child in His Eyes in 1978, way before, was number 85. And Don't Give Up with Peter Gabriel in 1986 went to number 72. Rubber Band Girl in 1993 went to number 88. So she had like almost 15 years of hits, which is pretty cool. and she's awesome. Aha, Take On Me in 1985 went to number one. That same year, they had a number 20 hit with The Sun Always Shines on TV, and also Cry Wolf at number 50. The Sun Always Shines on TV was number 20, I think I said. And plus, again, revered, huge everywhere else. They still have a career. They're still releasing music. Starpoint, You're the Object of My Desire. Something About Fire, 1985, number 25. And then 86, Restless, number 46. And in 87, He Wants My Body, number 89. And he does want my body, just for the record. Simple Minds, another signature band for this episode. Don't You Forget About Me is number 1985, went to number one, of course. But then right after that, Alive and Kicking. If you remember one song, you remember the other. It went to number three. Sanctify Yourself, I Do Remember, went to number 14. All the Things She Said, went to number 28. That, I think, 86. In 1991, they had a number 40, See the Lights. And then in 95, She's a River, number 52. So that's several top 40 hits. Skritti Politti, There Is a Perfect Way, 1985, number 11. Another year before 1981, number 91, I don't know. And one in 1988, at number 53. So whatever that meant. But they had more than one top 100 hit for sure. Falco, Amadeus, Rock Me Amadeus, number one in 1985. Same year, Vienna Calling, which I remember well, number 18. Check my backdrop. You'll see if you're just listening, I have two 12 inches back there from Stacey Q. Two Hearts, 1986, number three. That same year, We Connect. When we're together, it's so perfect or something. Number 35, so two top 40 hits and two others in the top 100. Cutting Crew, I Just Died in Your Arms in 1986 and went to number one and two others in the actual freaking top 40. And one more in the top 100, so not a one-hit wonder. Psychedelic Furs, Near and Dear to My Heart. 1987 was their only actual so-called one-hit, number 26, Heartbreak Beat. But Pretty in Pink, previous year, was at number 41. The Ghost in You, which is my favorite, and there's a cover of me doing that online on the YouTube channel, app music is not a genre. My favorite, number 59 in 1984, and Love My Way, number 44 in 1982. What a great band, and they're still out there. Nina Cherry, Buffalo Stance, Don't You Get Fresh With Me, 1988, number three. 1989, Kisses on the Wind, number eight. So again, two top 40 hits and two more in the top 100. Edie Brickell, What I Am in 1988, number seven, and Circle the following year, number 48. Good enough. Rob Bass, DJ Easy Rock, It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right. In 1988, it was number 36. And Joy and Pain in the same year went to number 58. And again, I guarantee if you sang that song or played it, people will remember that just about as well as It Takes Two. Which brings us to the 1990s. How was that for you? I'm coughing. Probably should drink. Michael Penn, brother of Sean Penn and husband of Amy Mann. No Myth in 1990 went to number 13. The same year, This and That went to number 53. People actually put Sinead O'Connor on One Hit Wonders list after a career that she had. Now, Nothing Compares to You was a number one song in 1990. But if you know that song in that era, you'll know from that album, The Emperor's New Clothes, which only went to number 60, but is a hit in my book. Faith No More, Epic.
What is this?
Number nine in 1990. Same year, Falling to Pieces, 92. But in 93, they did Easy Like Sunday Morning cover, number 58, which if you remember Faith No More, you remember Easy as much as you remember Epic. D-Light, Groove Is in the Heart. Yeah, 1990. I know. But that same year, they had a song called Power of Love, which went to number 47. So again, if it had been a few spots higher, they wouldn't have been a one. No, they still would have been a one-hit wonder because that's how ridiculous these lists are. Chris Isaak, Wicked Game, number six in 1990. Somebody's Crying in 1995, number 45. Susie and the Banshees, ugh. Kiss Them For Me in 91 went to number 23. But I also remember Peekaboo in 1988, which went to number 53. Big Audio Dynamite, Situation No Win, 1991, went to number 32. But that same year, The Globe was everywhere. Come on and dim the lights. Let's have a ball, number 72. Criss Cross, Jump, 1992, went to number one. But then they had six more in the top 100 through 1996, including three more hits in the top 20, not even the top 40. It's not a one-hit wonder. House of Pain, Get Out Your Seat and Jump Around, I Came to Get Down, 1992, number three. That same year, boom, shalak, lock, boom, Shamrocks and Shenanigans, number 65. And then 94, On Point, number 85, before Everlast went off and had a solo career and had a few hits. Beck, supposedly a one-hit wonder. Again, ha. Loser was his only top 40 hit in the mainstream charts. 94 went to number 10. He had six more in the top 100, though, most of them from Odelay. And duh. Lisa Loeb, Stay, went to number one in 94. 95, Do You Sleep went to number 18. And in 97, I Do went to number 17. And there were two more in the top 100. So nope. Silverchair, Wait Till Tomorrow went to number one in 1995. But then they had six more in the top 40 through 1999. Oasis, yes, sure, their only top 40 hit in the mainstream charts was Wonderwall, number eight in 1995. But Don't Look Back in Anger was as ubiquitous. And that was 96, number 55. Hanson, bop, 1997, number one, which we're actually doing at a gig in a few weeks, believe it or not. There were two more hits in the top 20 for Hanson. So, I mean, sure, we remember that the most, but they're not one-hit wonders. Which brings us to the 2000s. Blink 182, All the Small Things in that year, number six. But they had six more in the top 100 from 1998 to 2016. Incubus, Drive, 2000, number nine, but they have four more in the top 100. Jimmy Eat World, near and dear to my heart, in 2001, The Middle, Take Some Time, Little Girl, You're in the Middle of the Line, number five. But in 2002, Sweetness, number 75, arguably a better song. In 2004, they had the hit Pain, number 93, and man, they were great. Still out there as well. Liz Phair only had one top 40 hit, 2003, with Why Can't I? From her eponymous album that dumb critics trashed. But Supernova in 94 went to number 78. And Career, anyone? Yeah. Jet, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Went to number 29 in 2003. And Look What You Done. 2004 went to number 37. So two in top 40. And then Cold Hard Bitch in that same year went to number 55. Hoobastank, love the name. The Reason, everyone remembers that from the early 2003, number two. Running Away the year before went number 44, and Crawling in the Dark the year before that went to number 68. So they rose, and then who knows. Hey, I rhymed, but not the one-hit wonder. System of a Down, BYOB in 05 went to number 27. There were four more in the top 100. Gorillaz, Feel Good, 2005, number 14, dude. Same year, Dare, number 87. 2001, they had a minor hit with Clint Eastwood, number 57. And Gorillaz, you know, come on. James Blunt, Your Beautiful, 2005, number one hit. And then three more in the top 100 through 2010. Michael Bublé, Haven't Met You Yet, 2009, was his only top 40 hit, number 24. But he had nine more in the top 100 through 2014, including a Christmas song that actually charted higher than his so-called one hit. And I'm not a fan of Bublé, but you can't deny the career and the success. You can't deny it. 2010s, not going to be many here. It's going to be quick because this list naturally favors history, as all lists do. The future hasn't decided on who has been out in the last 10 or so years, 10 or 15 years, who's only going to have one hit. Some of these artists might have another hit or blah, 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 long careers and good stuff like that. So Hot Shell Ray in 2011, Tonight Tonight, number seven. Same year, I Like It Like That, number 28. And I remember both songs and they're both top 40. Carly Rae Jepsen. For those of you scoring, Hot Shell Ray and Carly Rae Jepsen both have the word Ray, the name Ray, R-A-E. Interesting, huh? Same year, 2011, Call Me Maybe, number one. We all love that song. That year, the year after, number eight, with a band I like from Canada, Owl City, Good Time. I actually really enjoyed that song, and it's as memorable to me as that other Call Me Maybe. I Really Like You, number 39 in 2015. So three top 40 hits and two more in the top 100, and she is now kind of really well-respected as a songwriter and a singer and a producer. Andy Grammer, Honey, I'm Good in 2014, number nine. And he had four more in the top 100 through 2016. And that's it. That's my list. because I said, like they said, the 2010s, it's too early to tell. So let's get to some conclusions. Well, the 1980s are best known for one-hit wonders. They also, on this list, had the most two-plus hit wonders, which isn't surprising, which means a lot of what we think about the 1980s was not true. That said, there seem to be more actual one-hit wonders since the year 2000 than at any other time, likely due to the huge influx of music and the population rising and people being able to create their own music and the internet and all that stuff. And again, it's in part because history hasn't decided yet who will have another hit. So we'll see if that number holds. You could argue there were a ton of one-hit wonders in the 1950s when rock and roll came and sort of came and went, and nobody knew where things were going, and record companies were throwing everybody at the wall. But sheer numbers of artists and humans in this century, I think, trump the 1950s, though I haven't done the math. Of course, singles matter less than careers, but still important because they're mostly what we remember if we don't know an artist well. It's true, though, that one-hit wonder status isn't just about whether or not they only had actual one hit, but it's about perception. So if a second or third hit doesn't enter the collective memory, that band is considered a one-hit wonder. I'm here to correct that because I think that's unfair. Or if the artist or hit were considered a novelty in some way, like the Offspring's Come Out and Play, they had several top 40 hits. They had several hits in general. Beyond that, so they shouldn't be on any of those lists. I contend, though, that many of these artists' other hits were present and were remembered, and like Dead or Alive, etc., significantly enough that they should not be considered one-hit wonders. So here's my list of two-hit winners, the two hitters, the top two hitters who either had actual two top 40 hits, or their second song was as memorable as their top 40 hit, and or they had a memorable career. I'm just going to go through this, not with detail. You can go back and listen to the details if you'd like. And they are Carl Perkins, Ivory Joe Hunter, Bobby Day, Bo Diddley, Robert Goulet, The Archies, The Five Stair Steps, Paper Lace, The Knack. So that's all the way 50s through 70s. Sugar Hill Gang, The Romantics, Tommy Two Tones, Survivor, Madness, A Flock of Seagulls, Musical Youth, Jennifer Holliday, Matthew Wilder, Eddie Grant, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Naked Eyes, Night Ranger, Twisted Sister, Dead or Alive, Aha, Simple Minds, Falco, Stacey Q, Cutting Crew, Psychedelic Furs, Nene Cherry, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, Sinead O'Connor, Faith No More, Susie and the Banshees, Big Audio Dynamite, House of Pain, Beck, Lisa Loeb, Silverchair, Oasis, Hanson, Blink 182, Jimmy Eat World, Liz Phair, Jet, Gorillaz, Michael Bublé, Hot Shell Ray, and Carly Rae Jepsen. Go back and listen to that list. That was 50 artists who are often considered one-hit wonders who were decidedly not one-hit wonders. That's a big conclusion here. And of course, remember, what matters, number of hits is less relevant than whether or not the artist had a full and successful career. So many of these do. Thinking, for example, of Jimi Hendrix, Lou Reed, Thin Lizzy, Roxy Music, Randy Newman, Funkadelic, Nick Lowe, Kate Bush, Bobby McFerrin, Public Enemy, Fountains of Wayne, Liz Phair, and Fiona Apple, all of whom had only one top 40 hit, and they are not cult acts. They're not obscure. So what? And so many fairly well-known bands who were not cult bands, but maybe not super famous, who had zero top 40 hits, like They Might Be Giants, that are on my shirt, and like My Tastes in general. And those are worthy bands. Ask yourself this. This is my big conclusion. If you're a music creator, how would it feel to have a top 100 hit? To know that your song, like one of my dad's songs, made it into the top 100. Hell, even the top 200. If you're on a list that people read of all the songs released in any given year, that's a hit. That is a hit. These songs matter. All of these songs matter. So, featured song is a song of mine when I was going under the artist named Nick called Scream. It was a big hit, you know, as far as hits go for me. And again, it wasn't a charting hit, but there are three songs that have had enough play one way or another for mine to be considered somewhat successful. One is a song Gold from the Sunshine Seminar, which has had over a million streams, mostly on iHeartRadio or plays or whatever on iHeartRadio. And then my cover of the themed Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is one of my top one of Rec's top songs on all streaming services. But I'm picking Scream as the featured song because it was used on MTV's My Super Sweet 16, and I still get royalties from that. So in a way, it was kind of the chosen song. And also, again, it's my wife's favorite, or one of her favorites. And it was considered the breakout single from the Metro Grand Sessions. And honestly, the last breakout song from my career before I became Rec, or I formed the band Rec. And it's always been a hit live. Probably going to play it for the bonus episode. All right. In fact, there's so many different versions of that. There's the recorded version. The live version with the band is heavier than that. The acoustic, which I'll be doing for the bonus episode, along with two songs, maybe, by Two Hit Wonders, is the softer version. And I'm looking forward to doing that. Patreon.com/musicisnotagenre if you'd like to see that. My questions for you are, which songs or artists come to mind when you think of one-hit wonders? And can you recall those artists having another hit? Or does that come as a surprise to you? And what non-one-hit wonders did I miss? What ones that have been classified one-hit wonders but are actually two or more hit wonders did I not put on my list? I want to hear from you. Answers to all those questions and any other feedback you have, because as always, my objectives here are music, conversation, and connection. Thank you for taking this journey with me and hanging out, and I will talk to you next week.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.